Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 162. It's been quite a week. Yelling, screaming, things being banned.
Uncle O'Grimacy.
And that was just at the store. Uncle O'Grimacy, yeah, thanks. We just had a half hour discussion on the characters on McDonald Land.
Was it really a half hour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. And, yeah.
That was after a half hour discussion on Niagara Falls.
No, that was only a few minutes. Stop that.
I must have missed that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea that you guys...
Some poor guy wanted to check out. Colin made us all stand still and watch YouTube videos.
Did you really?
I believe that.
He was educating us.
On Niagara Falls.
I was trying.
On how to be men.
Mm-hmm. There's a flyer for the Niagara Comic Con. And I said, where's that? And they said, Niagara Falls. And I said, slowly I turned. And everybody looked at me like I have third eye. So apparently, nobody watches the Three Stooges anymore, which really made me sad.
So apparently none of you were men?
No. Just none of you watch the Three Stooges
anymore. Oh, he had to watch Three Stooges. Got it.
And you're complaining about it, so I'm sorry. You can watch My Little Pony when you get home. Okay.
Yeah, you're not allowed to complain about watching Three Stooges.
Low blow.
I'm just saying. So, I'm Colin McMahon, angry Colin McMahon.
Angry.
Owner. Joining me tonight are...
Josh.
Dave.
Pat.
Adam.
Confused, Josh.
I don't like sitting next to angry Colin McMahon.
And Adam apparently has been banned from most social media sites.
From one person's social media page.
Way to finally catch on, Cameron Stewart.
Yeah. Okay.
He's obviously not a fan of the podcast, or he would have known.
Should have banned him a long time
ago. Is anybody a fan? Okay.
Not but, all your other people that were. They're just like...
I still can't believe you guys wrote all over my table. Still can't get over it. Okay.
Who wrote all over the table?
That was a couple weeks ago, because I told
I know,
you to get
but
a,
every time I look at it, it's
eraser.
Still... I can't believe that in making these little things were... whatever.
I didn't do it.
That's what happens when you hire people
you
like
got
that.
You got one more person.
I wish I could, yeah.
And I'm sure he knows
I need to do better screening.
Yeah.
Actual screening, like actually calling people on references. And
I would say drug tests.
Criminal, yeah, drug testing and criminal reports. Yeah. Oh, well.
The
next
candy
time.
Bar's good.
Good. But yeah, I like it too. Pat?
We're not sharing candy bars.
No, we're not. We each have our
that's
own.
That's just weird.
And they've been pre-opened so as not to crinkle.
Well, I guess we'll start with the less controversial thing. John Cassidy is leaving Star Wars after issue 6.
I don't think that's
I'm shocked he's making it 6.
Well... And they don't know who's going to do...
Yeah, they do. They announced Stuart Immonen.
No, he doesn't start till issue 8. So they don't know who's going to do issue 7. Maybe they'll just skip 7.
You know the way things
it's
are
Marvel,
going.
I would expect that.
Now, the only reason I say that is because we had all new X-Men when 36, 38, 37, and then 39 came out today. And it was funny because the guy who wasn't here last week picked up 37 and 39 and kind of looked at me funny.
He thought you were...
Yeah, I was messing with him because he already had 38. So...
Yeah, tell him, go back home and look. I'll bet
numbers,
you don't have 37.
Numbers don't matter, apparently.
Apparently not, especially not when you're trying to tell a cohesive story. So that was the least controversial thing, I guess.
That's good news, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
I like Cassidy, but I didn't like his art on Star Wars.
No, and I only read the first issue, but I wasn't impressed.
I'm wondering what's going on, only because that looked rushed. Princess Leia, it's funny, two books came out today, Princess Leia and Red One, both drawn by Terry and Rachel Dodson. Princess Leia looks half-finished, looks like the colorist was in charge of finishing a lot of the art and stuff, where on the Red One, it's nice and finished and tight and crisp and looks really, really good. And it's just like, why? So yeah, it's just interesting that Star Wars and... Princess Leia looked that way. It's like these are books that shouldn't have been rushed.
No, I mean
there was no rush
them
to get them
ago.
Out. Yeah, there was no urgency to get them out, and they had plenty of time. So, okay, continue. Sorry.
So the first controversial thing is the Batgirl cover.
What?
What has been canceled?
We don't talk about that.
Okay. All things Joker. Oh, I said the J word. Are canceled.
You have to say Mr. J.
You were so insensitive.
I can't say in the Brooklyn accent, though, so
Mr.
it just would
went.
It just wouldn't work.
You do that remarkably well, Josh.
Yeah. I know. As long as he doesn't start calling you Puddin', I think you're okay. And if he does, I'm leaving. First you share a candy bar, now he's calling you Puddin'.
But, no, just the only thing I'm going to say, the cover is what it is. So I was talking to someone today, and he was mentioning it was clearly Batgirl was in bondage, and I looked at it again, and I'm like, I don't see that.
I missed all that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people
That's someone, like, adding into...
They're reading a lot into it. The only points I want to make is, when you think of Batgirl and Joker, you know, you're doing a Joker variant on a Batgirl book... That's kind of the iconic.
Yeah, I'd go back to the
image. Now, granted, that the whole book wasn't about that, but that certainly is, you know, a memorable.
That shaped a lot of what happened in DC for years. I mean, up until New 52, that she had to become Oracle because she couldn't be Batgirl anymore.
Yeah, it was a variant cover. It wasn't the main cover because a lot of people are saying, "How could you do that?" I'm like, none of the variant covers have anything to do with what's going on in the book.
Right.
You know, Harley was not in all those issues. Howard the Duck is not in all the issues. Deadpool's not, you know, so...
Deadpool probably is in all the issues because he does show up in everything.
But, you know, so it was just a variant cover of a theme. Right. So, you know, when I saw the creator saying, well, that doesn't reflect what's going on in the books. Well, no, but none of them do. You know, Prince isn't in the current Batgirl. You know, are they upset about this cover? You know, I'm not... Because this had the Purple Rain variant.
Prince isn't in it?
No. And so, I mean,
about Morris Day and Time?
Now, in the Justice League comic, are they all going to be shirtless throughout the comic? You know, it's just, it was a theme cover. But the biggest problem I had with the whole argument was that the Mary Sue, I believe that's Jill Pantozzi, in her, who I think was the biggest, most vocal person about it, being offended by the Killing Joke, mentioned in her blog, when she was complaining about the Killing Joke, mentioned that she had never read it. And I just felt that that really kind of lessened her stance, not her view, but if you haven't read a book, how can you truly be offended by it? You know what you've heard, what you've been told, but unless you actually have read it, you don't truly understand it. I mean, the whole book was not about the Joker attacking Batgirl.
Well, but not only that, Joker shot Batgirl because of who she was. Had James answered the door, he would have been shot.
Yeah.
It wasn't a I want to hurt women thing. It was I'm getting to Commissioner Gordon. I want to drive him nuts. That's his family. That's what I'm going after.
So, but that she hasn't read it, that I just felt that was a bit of a problem. You know, I could easily be offended because of what I thought was in a book or in a movie.
The article you read was written by Teresa Giussino.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't...
Okay, it wasn't her. Okay, fair enough.
I just wanted to check that.
Okay, yeah, but I know it was the Mary Sue because I followed their link to it. Yeah,
she's a writer for them.
Okay, fair enough. So I'm sorry, Jill, I did not mean to besmirch you. But when I read that, I was just kind of like, well, your argument kind of loses some credibility.
Some merit when you haven't read the...
thing that you find so offensive.
But that's the whole thing. Like, for one, like, as you were saying, if the person didn't read the book, you have no idea, like, what it is. Just because you have an idea behind it.
Well, are they saying that the original, like, concept is offensive, or just the image in
itself?
A little
bit of everything. There's
the image in the way it relates to the Killing Joke. And in the Killing Joke, like, she was saying that she was brutalized and raped. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't remember that in the book.
No, there was no evidence of rape. There were naked pictures, and even that was edited out of the book. It was originally drawn that way, but that was edited out of the book. And again, it wasn't a sexual thing. It was, we want to drive Commissioner Gordon crazy.
Yeah.
How do we do it? And that's really...
They went after his family and all sorts of things. But the whole thing about it is, like...
Oh, and by the way, these are also... comic book characters.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I understand what they were saying, where they're working on getting these books to girls, and this doesn't portray it and everything. It's like, but the Joker is a scary guy. This portrays her feeling threatened by the Joker, which most people are. So, I mean, I understand what they're saying, but, you know, if it was the main cover of the book and there wasn't an alternative... But it is just, you know, a variant that... And it's not like everybody orders only that cover. You know, I order a few just for the...
Yeah.
The people that want the variants.
Is I do feel like kind of a hypocrite, though, because I criticized the Spider-Woman cover, saying how, like, that book is meant to be female reader-friendly, and then suddenly they have that super overly sexualized, you know, cover, and that I criticize, but this one I see less of a problem with, so I feel like kind of a hypocrite over it, but...
I look at that issue the same way as, in one way, I think that one's a harder one to deal with, who was that?
Milo Manara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, at least this one referenced something in the history of the character.
That one was a little overly sexualized. It also was really bad, I thought. But it's still a variant cover. Like, it wasn't that this is your main cover. This is what we're selling to these girls. This is if you want to pick up this cover and you like the art. Usually variant covers are for that purpose, for art. If you don't like that, there's a second cover out there just for you.
Yeah.
But basically, like, the issue supposedly is with two things.
And what did you spout off to Cameron Stewart to get banned
for? Well, I don't even remember. Okay. But the thing about it is, like, there's two big things in here. First, they're going after the Killing Joke for what was in that. Two, they're going after this cover. So in a way, they're two separate things, but very similar, very close together. You know what I mean? Like, they're still... They're using that to go after the Killing Joke, okay? They're using this cover, which they don't, you know, they're not fond of because of the market that they're trying to go for with Batgirl, that in the long run, they're also trying to go after the Killing Joke because that's what really created this thing.
Right, but they're also attacking a book that came out, what, 15 years ago?
Exactly. So, but... Through that, that's their example of, well, if this didn't exist, then we wouldn't have this thing for that. We shouldn't have this. That was then, this is now. That's what they're trying to say. I don't agree with it at all. But, like, according to the picture, like, the picture, and I'm looking at it now, is, like, a lot of it has to do with what they're saying. I've been just reading other people's opinions on it just to see what other people are saying in this cover. A lot of people are looking at the eyes. That the eye, she is very, she just... fearing for her life. And they don't feel like that she should necessarily be fearing for her life. She's there, that she should be in some other facial expression. Like,
she
shouldn't be happy. What they're trying to say, like, I saw other ones that people have recreated where she's looking at him with more stern eyes. And that's everything else is the same, but she's, like, staring at him like she's going to attack him. Yeah, I think they're
saying that, like, she is a stronger character that wouldn't... Like, now, I guess, have that look of...
The one,
it seems
that look
like that would
fear.
Be an easy thing to fix, too. You make that change and then print it.
But the whole thing about these variant covers are... They're not looking at it in the long run of... They're supposed to all be showing some sort of... The Joker is a monster. He's supposed to be, in a way, winning in these covers.
Yeah.
Okay? That's what they're trying to sell. Like, they've been trying to sell with all the Harley Quinn covers.
And of all the covers, this is the one that is truest to the whole, like, history of the Joker, which is the whole point of the...
I'm pretty sure some of the Harley Quinn covers had Batman tied up in some way, or you know, there was some sort of violence.
I mean, it was more of a comical thing, though, the way it was portrayed.
Okay, I could see that. But the whole thing about it is, it's a variant cover. It's, you know, we're looking into it too much, you know? We're starting to take the, you know, it's almost like they're wanting comics to be post what it was before Watchmen. And that's just not how it is anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like if it was that way, the comics wouldn't have the real feel that they have. Even for a fictional type book, they're going to lose that if you take it away. The point of Batgirl, you know, if we didn't have the Killing Joke, we wouldn't have Oracle.
Right.
If that didn't happen and Joker didn't go after her, then what's her name from Mary Sue would not have her character that she loved so much that was in a wheelchair. And maybe that's why I haven't really seen anything of her going after this book. So I'm not sure. I've been trying to find something, but I don't think she has. But you wouldn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something always happens. You have to have an antagonist to help develop the character. And these type of stories, if you don't have that, then it's just, you know, oh, the hero wins all the time. What's new? What's new to the book for you?
Yeah.
And that's what you're going to lose. And the fact that they can't handle this means that they don't need to be in comics. They don't need to be reading them because, you know, they need to go and pick up an Archie book and read the Archie book.
Well, a lot of people are already reading the book. Like you said, people were tweeting Gail Simone.
Yeah,
about
people
it.
Are going
so
after Gail Simone.
If they're reading the book, they know that she hasn't written the book in 4 months.
And a lot of them are going after Gail Simone, not for the cover. They're getting. I think they're going after Gail Simone to bring back the cover. So it's the other people. All of them are really dumb in this whole thing because, you know, it's that they're fighting this or they're fighting to bring back the thing. And it's just like, you need to learn how to protest
on that,
in the right
did
way.
Did the artist on that ask that it not be released?
According to what it says,
Raphael Albuquerque. Okay.
He decided he was the one who pulled it. Supposedly. Yeah.
He said on Twitter, too. I mean, he could just be towing a company line. But
he might just be.
I wonder if that was after.
If he is, it's not censorship.
I hope that's the case. Well, I hope DC didn't say,
we're not going to
do
this.
I hope he actually said it's
not
worth.
I do, too, but we'll never know.
But what I didn't like is your buddy, Cameron Stewart, posting afterwards saying, like, well, even the artist says it's inappropriate. No, the artist says it's not worth people being upset, his intent wasn't for people to
be. He was spouting off a lot of stuff. Like, he was going on about, and a friend of mine I used to work with told me all about it happening, of him tweeting. And he was going just nuts over this. He was just like, and he was making weird claims. Like, he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, he said that, you know, this kind of thing, you know, this kind of thing can't happen on my book or something like that.
Very
the
arrogant.
That it was his book.
Very arrogant.
And,
he was
and you know, he didn't, you know, and it's fine. And, you know, yeah, the artist pulled it, so it's not censorship. Well, yeah, if the artist did pull it, then it's not technically censorship because then the artist isn't being censored. He was the one who decided to pull it. So that's the end of that. I mean, that's why you can't really fight it. The only thing you can fight in this matter, I feel like DC did. Do it, and they're doing this. The same. You have to pull it. You have to be the one who pulls it, and then it ends. Then that's how it ends. Because it seems very. But why would the artist pull something? He's an artist. He's not going to be like, oh yeah, the work I've been working on for a long time.
No, I disagree with that. Because
I don't know
if he puts out a comic or a cover that he is.
Oh,
proud
that
of,
he feels that might cause controversy.
No, if he's proud of it, and then suddenly seeing it's having this reaction, people are upset and saying that it's triggering. I could see him saying, you know what?
Yeah.
I didn't think there was a problem with it, but
done that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's all in the
it depends. It depends
if,
how
if
arrogant
it is,
the person is.
If DC decided to, we'll never know.
Yeah. But
it's basically that.
I don't think. I think if DC.
I see your point. Though,
I think if DC did it, it wouldn't have happened that quickly.
Yeah.
I think with him seeing how it exploded, then he quickly just said.
Just and maybe for career wise, too, because, you know, he doesn't want bad press.
Yeah, he doesn't want the backlash.
Yeah.
And it gives him good publicity because. He gets the cover that he drew out there everywhere, so everyone's seeing it.
Yeah.
And he gets the points from the other side for the people that see him that he said, we'll do something else. We'll take it down.
Yeah. I just...
And his cover for today's is awesome, at least.
It's just the whole thing is really just kind of stupid.
It is. It's very stupid.
And I could see a lot of stupidity on both sides. Like the Gail Simone thing. Like, what... Are you guys that stupid, like, that you don't know that Gail Simone has been writing the book for that long? She can't do anything about it. What do you think? She's going to be like, I'm coming back to reclaim what was mine.
She has final saying all Batgirl.
Yeah, anything Batgirl, she has it. I mean, she was on doing the character for a while before, even with Birds of Prey.
That's happening. Yeah. You write a book, you get final say forever afterwards.
Yeah.
Scott Liddell, Jeff Johns has to answer to him now about Superman.
About Superman. That's right.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Right? Yeah. Oh, well. But, I mean, that's just how it goes. We all knew. We read it.
Okay. Next controversy.
He doesn't know what we're talking about right now.
I know, right?
And now we got the long list of...
He's still thinking of Uncle Grimace. He's like, who knew?
Should have had John.
I just can't believe... I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Damn. That would get one on the way home. It
would have been good.
So we got the long list of books being canceled by Marvel.
616 canceled. The 616 finale.
There's ultimate ones in there too.
Yeah.
Well
one.
One.
Shouldn't every
the only one that really matters.
If it's not just the planet, it's the whole universe that's crashing and coming to an end. So everything should be.
Could
affected.
Be like Green Lantern. You know,
there's only a few books I didn't see on the list.
In fact, Green Lantern with New 52. I mean, yeah, it makes sense what you're saying.
But I mean, like, during this event where people battling on Battle World, every single book should see some sort of pizza smashing.
The only thing is like, I can see What they could be doing is like something like Hawkeye. Let's take.
Oh, what if they say like later on that Hawkeye takes place after?
Yeah.
It already happened.
That's what I'm saying. It, because they're writing it in a way where it can, like yeah. whether or not nothing changes with Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Because most likely on this new, if whatever's happening with Marvel, if what we think it is a new world being created, right? If even that's happening, nobody's going to remember it. So none of them are going to remember it. So events can still happen. Certain things can still exist.
Matt Fraction's Hawkeye is going to end with Battle World.
Oh.
Ooh. He's the reason for Battle World.
Boom!
Just like that.
What Pizza do you think,
Dog. Colin? Pizza Dog.
Pizza Dog is the overlord of Battle World.
Yeah.
That's what the pizza references was covert. Message.
I actually kind of like that issue.
We missed the whole thing. That's what it's yeah. Pizza Dog rules the universe.
That was really well made for that title.
It was
that dog issue. Even everything, like the cover was incorporated where all the writers were rough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, do you want to name names or
do whatever you want, Pat?
You can do what you want. I'm just trying to figure out which books aren't on this list.
Okay.
Sorry.
He's going to say
So, the first one that I saw on the list is All New Captain America.
Well, because that's the first one on the list.
Oh, right? I know that.
Okay.
But that seems to be, you know, they made such a big deal about making Falcon Captain America, and now they're canceling the book.
Yeah, that's Colin.
Right. Well, you have to remember,
I'm not.
No, just that they're calling it comes first. They were.
It's very good. He knows his letters.
Yeah. No, like they do mention canceled, but then they also keep mentioning 616 final.
What's
that? Finale. What, I don't know.
Fragile.
Finale. There we go.
Proper pronunciation.
Thank you.
Are people going to cry? Are Marvel fans going to cry?
Probably.
Probably, yeah.
So, I mean, just the fact that they're couching it in that term, because technically 616 isn't going to continue. Now it's going to be Battle World.
Pizza World. Right.
Pizza World.
Pizza
Planet.
Here's my only guess is how
they're
many
Disney, so it's okay.
How many new number ones are we going to get here? I believe that was Josh's. Or no, I'd mentioned that, and you said,
"Yeah,
yeah." But it's just funny seeing something like Wolverines. It's like really your weekly book made it to what 16?
Oh, I said, okay,
yeah,
you know, twist
that
arm,
made
number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, nowhere. Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that we will live in a Marvel universe with no Amazing Spider-Man.
We're going to have Amazing Spider-Man Day in the Life or whatever that new series
yeah,
is called.
Yeah, where he gets his wife and
right.
Blade's back. Yeah,
that's like
not
during Battle World?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that is the Spider-Man during Battle World.
So we're going to have another restart.
But renew your vows.
In Battle World, we have a Dan Slotless Spider-Man.
And if you read the Spider-Man that came out today, the Jerry Conway one, I thought it was very good. Slotless
I couldn't buy Spider-Man. It out of principle, though.
Yeah.
If it's in continuity and takes place right after Spider-Verse, why in the hell is it numbered 16.1 instead of...
Because it has a different writer.
So what?
Wait, are you...
This way, instead of having
a
separate series.
A slotless Spider-Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too. Well, there's people out there that aren't. I'm like...
I said hopefully we get a slotless Spider-Man.
Do you want a slotless Spider-Man?
No, I know.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
I want a Spider-Man with
unclear.
No slots. What's
okay?
That was unclear.
Title of the podcast: Slot with Spider-Man.
Yep.
Spider-Man with no slots. I like that better.
Yeah. I'm shocked that Angela's being canceled,
but it's not.
We're talking about
because,
dance slot.
But it is.
But it's not because well, it is. But there's Angela of 1602 during Secret Wars.
Why would there be an Angela 1602? She's a multiversal being.
See, now you're trying to apply logic to a place where logic doesn't.
I'm just saying some of these are getting continuing series through.
Yeah, but I mean,
about, through Secret Wars,
right? But after Secret Wars, and they end, you know, those books are going to last a couple months, and then that's it.
Right, and then we'll get all new Spider-Man number one,
again.
All new Angela number one
again,
or whatever term they're going to have instead of all new.
I mean,
I'm sure that they're brainstorming right now with the Theosaurus.
Marvel-tastic.
To come up with some new...
Thesaurus?
Theosaurus?
Yeah.
Theosaurians.
Is that a dinosaur?
It's like a group
yeah.
of people who know the Thesaurus and are coming up with different ways to say all new.
Okay. I just never heard it.
So, I'm sure they need a team, because...
Can
oh,
we
yeah.
do it? Can
a committee.
We be the
Maybe
people
a committee.
To do it?
A committee.
I mean, it's
how do
a
we
blue
get
ribbon
like
beyond. It's going to be beyond Spider-Man.
They already
beyond
struck gold
Captain
with
America.
All new. How are they going to do this again?
I don't know.
All newer.
Is the Earth going to get a new number?
All are newer.
It's going
to... One.
B.
They're gonna do DC. They'll do letters.
919.
DC's doing numbers. Numbers are stupid. We'll do letters.
Battle World.
Each Earth is a different topping.
Oh. One's a sardine.
Earth pepperoni. Earth sausage.
Tom Brevoort's right in
the
see,
mouth. I went another way. I was going pepperoni. Chocolate, caramel, peanuts, whipped cream.
Okay, sure.
They're like, Tom.
I went desserts. I'm sorry.
They're like, Tom, we can't name
anything. My head is.
Just because you're hungry doesn't mean we can name everything after a pizza.
I'd lay that flatter. I don't want that falling.
Do you want to buy him a new one?
No.
No. Then we just laugh.
I would laugh, too. It'd be kind of funny.
Everyone. Well, like, we already knew Deadpool was ending. We knew Elektra was ending. Fantastic Four, that's already over.
A what?
Guardians 3000, which was a book we never needed.
Yeah. Spider-Man and the X-Men can go away. Storm.
They are eliminating Cyclops. One Inhuman book.
Hulk.
Yeah, Hulk. No more.
What's Hulk going to be?
Planet Hulk.
Doctor.
Planet Hulk.
And they're doing the future Imperfect one.
He's going to be fighting Captain America.
Yeah, and Devil Dinosaur. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is he.
In one of many Devil Dinosaur books.
Is he the character that. Dave's been talking about the smart Hulk.
Is this Hulk or
Doc Green?
It's Clue.
Yeah, that's what I've been wondering. Doc Green should be the character.
Yeah.
You know, that wouldn't be a bad idea because
have Clue?
Not Clue.
Clue in more books. Yeah, I think it's a brilliant
idea. I wish they did
the character
have a Clue.
Dave talks about this Doc Green. It should be like because they need to change Hulk up. Hulk can't just be running around smashing things. It gets old after a while. They need more for Hulk to be doing.
Why? It's an established formula. Coke doesn't change its formula except for that time.
Because
they
Hulk
did.
Does good smashing in the background, but otherwise in a main book, Hulk doesn't smash very well.
Maybe
he smashes numbers of people getting his book.
There's going to be two panels in
Hulk
every Marvel book.
Numbers.
Hulk smash numbers. Hulk accounting.
One smash.
Puny calculation.
Two smash.
When Doc Green becomes an accountant. That's what the book's about.
Little bow tie.
April 15th.
You have to get taxes done before April 15th or Hulk smash you.
Wrong form.
Wrong form. You need the W-9 or whatever.
Hulk audit abomination.
Abomination's like, no.
It's not Darth Vader.
I should have done better. No. He lost a little live, too. That whole movie franchise lost a little live. What was
okay.
it? Star Trek? You didn't jump to that, so I did.
Yeah.
You're sitting too close to him today.
I'm done.
No. Just tell Adam to hush up. Now, books like All New Ghost Rider, I think, was canceled already.
Yeah, I thought, yeah.
Captain Marvel.
All New X-Men, I feel that is kind of cheating, and this is their way out of the... conundrum they had written themselves into with the young X-Men.
What do you mean, conundrum?
We can't send them back, but how does two of the same characters existing at the same time work?
Spider-Man and the X-Men.
It,
Amazing X-Men, I think, can go away and not come back. Avengers World can go away and not come back.
Is X-Men and Spider-Man?
Captain Marvel is getting its own book. It's Carol Danvers and the Carol Corps or something.
Oh.
Cyclops can go away. Deadpool's canceled, but we're getting a couple Deadpool books
from
Secret
sure
Wars.
He won't stay dead long.
Yeah.
Inhumans canceled?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, no, because we're getting...
You're getting like four
Inhuman Atalan Rising.
And Uncanny Inhumans.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Uncanny Inhumans.
That's like maybe that's what it'll be. Uncanny Marvel number one.
Maybe the X-Men are Inhumans.
Iron Fist is going away, but Legendary Star-Lord's getting a Kitty Pryde and Peter Quill series.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Ultimate Spider-Man will be back.
Yeah. New Avengers.
Nightcrawler, that one might go away. Nova is becoming Infinity Gauntlet. Rocket Raccoon's becoming Groot. Secret Avengers, I think, was already canceled. Spider-Man, the X-Men, that can go away. Spider-Man 29-9 turning into... Secret Wars 2099. Storm can go away. Superior Iron Man? Really? They have that on the list?
Yeah.
Why?
I'm
sorry. I was reading that as
Superior
Spider-Man.
Man.
I'm like, why is that on the list? Yeah, okay. Yeah. But that needs a change anyway because
he can't be
jerk
evil.
Tony Stark forever.
Well,
Thor is already being Thor's. Oh, then Iron Man is going into Armor Wars. Yeah. Uncanny X-Men, Wolverines, and X-Men. Yeah.
Wolverines is...
So here are the titles that just off the top of my head. Yeah, I listed like 20. That I didn't see on the list was Uncanny Avengers, Bucky Barnes, Winter Soldier, Deathlok, S.H.I.E.L.D., and then you have the girl books, Ms. Marvel, Spider-Gwen, Silk, Spider-Woman, Ms. Marvel, and Squirrel Girl. None of those were on the list.
You can't say they're girl books.
Well, they're...
Spider-Girl.
Ms. Marvel, Spider-Girl. Yeah, I think you can. All New Hawkeye, Howard the Duck, and Ant-Man were not on the list. So I don't know what's
going
on with them.
Oh,
that's right, Moon Knight, Punisher. So I don't know what's going on with those books during... Now, one thing he did say in here is some books are going on hiatus. But it's one of those, okay, tell us which ones are going on hiatus. You know, again, the secrecy, I don't quite understand. I mean, I don't know. I did see that Bucky, Deathlok, S.H.I.E.L.D. were all in the new previews that comes out next week. I was looking at the solicits trying to figure it out.
Well, here's, you know, if... We know some of these are going to change. So, like, Superior Iron Man is going to become Armor Wars. So, you know, does that mean everybody that you have that's getting Iron Man is, you know,
right.
getting...
And said, no, I'm not going to automatic because it's too big of a difference. I mean,
yeah.
You know, if when it changed from Iron Man to Superior Iron Man, yeah.
Basically,
I carried everybody over. But with these changes, I don't think I can. So... If you do want the book that follows up, please let me know.
So basically, your Marvel list is pretty well dead during these events. During this event.
Yeah. Other than Holtz. And just like DC is during Convergence, unless you tell
me what
you want.
Now, when you get back, depending on what's coming back after this event, it might carry over.
Right. Depending on what survives Battle World.
Everything's dying.
Everything
not
ends.
All dying. Everything ends and to be reborn.
Except no, there's
the
only one
butterfly. Not a Fantastic Four.
The Fantastic Four will
no.
be lost.
No,
oh,
no. There won't be
they'll one. Be stuck on Battle World.
Not until the movie comes out.
Oh.
After the movie comes out.
That's
in the DVD.
What about Franklin? Is he going to be okay?
No, they're killing
yeah,
him.
Yeah, wouldn't you think Franklin could kind of like correct all this on his
yeah,
own?
Franklin's like, screw you, Marvel. I'll just turn it into what I want it to be.
Yeah, Franklin's pretty much a
me
god.
Me and the Scarlet Witch here,
wants.
We're just going to fix this. Tom
no
Brevoort.
More Marvel.
Tom Brevoort. It's like, you don't understand the power of Tom Brevoort in my pizza.
No more pizza?
Brevoort hungry.
I am the greatest pizza universe chef ever.
He is pizza dog.
Okay.
I think that Adam put the nail in the coffin on that one.
Yeah, that's,
thank you, Adam.
That's Patch News.
I don't have any other news.
Wow.
No, I was thinking about news and other stuff going on.
Yeah.
No.
Wonder Woman's getting pants.
Wonder Woman. Well, yeah, you know, I've seen a lot of news about that, and I'm wondering, is that a new costume change, or was like the Superman, was that just the cover? Like, is his new costume T-shirt and jeans, or is it just that's what he was wearing
well,
on that
like
cover?
It's like a Chappie Batman.
Yeah,
Chappie Batman, yes.
Yeah, is that... I can't imagine that's going to be permanent.
Well,
like
I don't
hope the
you know,
around,
on the one cover
well, no,
I saw...
That's fine, but I mean, yeah. like, Batman shouldn't be a robot. Like,
right.
It doesn't work.
It's
right.
something to do with the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the one cover I saw where it was him standing in front of Superman, it's clearly not somebody in a costume, because it's too big.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping it is.
Scott Snyder's been playing up saying that this is going to be the absolute weirdest out there arc that they've done
yeah.
so far.
I'm cool with it.
Cool with that?
Yep, I have no problem with anything they're doing because they put out pretty good stories.
Careful,
because he hasn't got banned yet.
Yeah, that's right. As soon as he bans them, bam, Batman sucks.
I don't even know what happened.
It's a new game. See if you can get Adam banned from his favorite creators on Twitter.
I already told Colin. I wrote on there, and Pittsburgh Comics thinks so too. Aaron Stewart was just like, "Oh, what they do?
Banned. You can't buy my books anymore, Colin."
Well, here's a funny thing. Just with him being so vocal. He has one of the new books coming out too. And it's like, might want to tone it down just a little
bit.
He has
a Canary.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Maybe that's why he's sticking up for women's libs so much.
Oh, I don't have a problem with that.
Women.
I don't have a problem with that. But then you know,
he's
just
pandering to an audience.
Yeah.
But don't be a douche.
That's
about
not
it.
A big audience. And yeah, don't be a douche.
You
about
be tactful.
It. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, because if the bigger the douche he acts, the more he panders to them and makes them think, you know, he's totally against it when
truthfully
he
most of them
books.
Aren't the majority of audience that he's selling to. Most of them probably aren't even reading the books.
We need to eliminate all violence in comic books.
Yes. That'd be even great. Archie that'd be shot. That'd make it so much fun.
Came back as a zombie.
Books. Isn't there like a really violent they're Archie book out there?
Afterlife. And there's a well, no, there's the Archie Predator
what are you
coming.
Talking about?
Oh, yeah. That
those are those books that don't come out.
Yeah, that was one funny thing on my Comics Pro forum. You people are like, you know, how are you thinking about ordering Archie versus Predator? It's like, well, very trepidatiously, you know, because I don't know if it's ever going to ship. So
Archie versus Predator might be going too far. Yeah. It better be like one-issue
Predator
miniseries. They meet, and Predator just...
took Arnold Schwarzenegger to take on the Predator.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow I just don't think
you
Archie
can't see Jughead going, I don't have time to bleed.
That yeah, with the minigun, that would be pretty awesome.
Predator's just going to be sharing a shake with Betty and Veronica.
Yeah, probably. Mrs. Predator.
I hope they keep the Archie art to it, though. Like the regular
yeah,
it Archie
is. It is Archie art.
Is that that's Predator there?
Yeah.
Comes to Riverdale.
I'm wearing a sweater with a letter on it.
It's P.E. on it.
Okay. How do we follow up with that?
How about we talk about recent books? Oh, by the way, previews is due next Thursday, so if there is anything you want, let me know. Especially Convergence or Secret Wars related.
Just make sure you tell them twice about the shebang.
Yeah, remind them about the deal, Colin.
Yeah, and we still have the deal where you can get Convergence. If you pre-order it, it's, what did I say, 10% off the whole thing?
I think you said
yeah,
you had
I forget
to change
it
because you had the prices wrong.
Well, that was for the whole thing. Then any of the Convergence titles you order, you get 10% off those. And then if you order the entire, as we like to call it, the shebang, you get, I think it's $30-some a week, and you get all the Secret Wars books. So
that's what all the cool kids are doing.
That's what all the cool kids are doing. All the Convergence. I'm sorry, Convergence books.
Oh, man.
I couldn't even try. Somebody asked me if I was doing one for Secret Wars. I'm like, I don't even know what books are coming out. Because I've seen stuff announced, but then, like, the list that was in the new previews didn't have everything I'd seen announced, so I don't know what's going on. So, no. So, way to go.
They're
going to
print some books. Something will come out, and
he'll take your money.
Yes.
Come buy them all.
So, who read something?
You read, like, 15
things. I did, but I don't want to dominate. Okay. Dominate. Action 40. Who read Action 40?
Action 40 was awesome.
That was a fun book. It was a bizarro book leading into the new... What?
Somebody's just slamming on their horn.
Oh, leading into the new bizarro series that's coming out in June.
Oh, really?
And it, as far as I can tell, it was a one-shot.
Yeah.
But it was just fun. Superman all of a sudden goes like through this dimension and ends up... You're obsessed with that
Go
image.
On,
you're scaring
Tom.
Me that
you
I'm. You're going to turn
podcast.
Into the Joker.
I thought you were going to give him a hug. And you're just like,
I like how
you need a hug, Colin.
I like how the thought of me giving him a hug elicits a look of horror from you.
But not the Joker. Josh can give me a
like,
hug anytime
I was
he
like,
wants.
That's
okay.
Joker. I was like, then you were giving a hug, and I was like,
so that's the sort of image that causes the trigger for
Adam.
If that was the cover, I'd be offended.
What has happened in your past, Adam?
Like, oh, man on man, he doesn't like that. Okay. No, kidding.
Offensive, Colin.
Offensive, I'm sorry. Okay,
oh,
action.
Man, this is probably
it was,
really
all of a
offensive.
Sudden, he, like, ends, goes through this, you know, he goes through some, you know.
It's not explained at all.
No.
Like, and it's fine.
No, it's like he pops up he's, and he all of a sudden he's like, oh, wait, this looks weird. And it's clearly Bizarro World. You can see the cheese moon and the square planet. And he flies up. The only weird thing was.
I gotta get this book.
When he flies up,
really
oh, it was really good. And when he flies up, and he's like, "Wait, I recognize that woman," and it's Lois, but she yells up, "Husband!" And I'm like, "Well, she shouldn't have yelled, husband, because what? I don't know what the opposite of husband would be. She wouldn't
wife,
he, but she wouldn't yell wife to him. That would be a weird thing to yell.
Jilted lover.
But it was just funny that she yelled that. But then everything else is in negative, and it was very, very well done by Greg Pak.
And it had for the movie cover the Bill and Ted variant.
Yep.
Oh, I totally got to get that. Then.
But
you really dropped.
Yeah,
yeah, I really did.
And it was funny because
if I knew it was Bizarro, I would have gotten
Metallo
it.
Metallo was on that world, and Superman's like trying to stop him, and then all of a sudden he realizes that these guys are trying to blow up their own planet, and Metallo was actually kind of trying to stop them from blowing up their planet, but they're having a lot of fun destroying their city and stuff, and so it's going along, and then what happens? Oh, Doomsday shows up.
Mm-hmm.
and infects Bizarro, and all of a sudden Bizarro grows these horns and all this stuff. And then when Bizarro does something, it turns everything into bunnies.
Yeah. So instead of like turning them all into zombies,
turns them into bunnies.
I gotta go get
it was really, really fun, and it makes me really want to read that new Bizarro book that's coming. It was
just as funny were like Clark's reactions throughout everything going on. Like what did he say? Like
I'm finally getting the hang of this backwards thing, but wait a minute, what? It was very really good.
And I got the last Bill and Ted comics.
There you go. Well, luckily I know where to get more. Okay, we had a winner there. Mm-hmm. Oh, now Amazing Spider-Man 16.
Oh man, that book was so not.
Nothing happened. Yeah. Oh look, Peter's late for a meeting.
Peter's never late for meetings.
This book has just turned to the status quo. I mean, you could
Spider-Verse didn't happen.
That didn't happen. You could take Parker Industries and just switch out for the Bugle. I mean, nothing.
Yeah.
Is different.
Yeah, and then you have Alchemax trying to get some prison contract with Molten Man sitting right there. And I don't know.
Supposedly good now.
It just was really, yeah. That's why I enjoyed the 16.1
version.
That's why I like the 16.1 that came out today, because it just felt more like a Spider-Man story, where this one just felt like, meh. So yeah, not a good start after Spider-Verse.
Maybe because it doesn't mean anything, because they're burning issues.
Yeah.
Battle.
There's part. Yeah, you kind of do get the feeling that there is some of that.
But isn't that all the more reason why they should have just ran Spiral as the main?
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. But it's not Slott. It's Jerry Conway.
So what?
That's a good. That's not a bad
thing. No, it's not a good. Not a bad thing. No, I enjoyed the 16 very much, and I think you should have bought it, Josh.
Felicia Hardy stuff.
That's the only reason I did.
Oh my god! And then there was a backup story of that.
And. This is a minor thing, but how the hell is anyone supposed to walk around with a, like, sword whip thing wrapped around their legs, like she was drawn in every single panel? Felicia Hardy had, like, this, like...
I don't remember a sword whip thing.
You know, like, one of those swords, like, where it's, all the pieces are chained together?
Yeah.
But it was, like, completely, like, wrapped around her legs and she's walking around.
She's talented.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
It's a lock.
Okay. Stupid Detective Comics Endgame. Now, I haven't been reading Detective Comics, so I probably may have missed a little bit. I think the main idea behind this was to introduce the characters that are going to be in We Are Robin, or at least some of them. Because it introduced, it was like a bunch of kids. One guy's a computer hacker.
Lonnie.
And they have to go and save, was it Lonnie's mom?
Yeah.
Who's Lonnie's a stripper mom. Or something?
Yeah, and she was very clothed to be in the show. Like, they were all...
Well, I think, like, they got to work, and then all this went down.
Yeah. But... it was fine. It was interesting showing the interactions with Batwoman and, was it Bluebird that helped them?
Spoiler.
Yeah. So, that was interesting, just a little bit, but yeah, I think it was mostly to set up that We Are Robin book.
It wasn't bad, though.
No, it wasn't bad at all, and it was $2.99, and...
Buccellato.
Yeah.
Wrote it.
I like the one thing where, they got those white masks and put the Joker faces on them because they said the Jokerized people aren't zombies and can't smell them. They're just, they look at them, they look right, they would leave them alone.
Yeah.
So, I like that. That made sense. Hellbreak number one.
Yeah, I read that. I like that.
Yeah, it was a dollar book, another Cullen Bunn book. I do not know how he does it. He's got, I think, 19 books going on right now.
Yeah.
But the idea is if you have a loved one whose soul has been stolen
Delta
and taken...
Delta Force invades hell. That's how I saw it.
They can get down to hell and try to reclaim your loved one's soul. Now, it wasn't so much like people who had died,
but
he was possessed. Because it did show that one of the guys was looking at, like, a picture.
I thought it was the one image they had of, I guess the body of their son... crucified while they were trying to do the exorcism. That was kind of weird.
Yeah. But it, like, takes place in a church. It was very interesting. But, yeah, for a buck, I highly recommend giving it a shot. I thought it was definitely good.
Who's the publisher?
That was Oni.
It was Oni.
Oni Press. Okay. Yeah.
They did a lot where their first issue is at all.
Not a lot, but I think when
Letter 44 was
they're
that,
trying
right?
to take one of the big names that they have, like Cullen Bunn, Letter 44, Charles Soule, and Oni, and, you know, here's a way to get more out there. And I ordered plenty, so I'll still have some to give away on Free Comic Book Day. So I went strong.
Nice guy.
I try. So, yeah, it was a neat book. you know, a little dark, a little creepy with the demons eating the souls down in hell. That was a little creepy.
But there was nothing in there that I thought was over the top.
Not over the top, but the heads with the mouths and all that. And that was a little freaky.
But I mean, there wasn't a lot of language, and I don't remember any language. There was no nudity in it. There was nothing like that.
No, just a little disturbing images, we'll say, just with the demons. So, Howard the Duck, number one. I thought it felt right. It felt like Howard. I liked everything about it until the last page.
Yeah.
And then on the last page, everybody's favorite animal shows up because he's not in any other books.
Not Rocket.
It would be Rocket. And it was just one of those, oh, God, let it go. We had enough.
Where they're like, Marvel decides, oh, this character is kind of popular. Let's put him in everything.
Well, like they've done that with Deadpool for years.
Deadpool, Rocket.
But it was kind of funny, Joel, in the sense, like, somebody says, well, you should have known from the variant cover. I'm like, well, yeah, the variant did have Rocket and Howard on it, but it was also the 1 in 50 run for the Jules variant that
Those variants are stupid.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from some stores that are having trouble because they have a lot of fans that want that. Well, it's 1 in 50. You know, how many Howards are you ordering?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. Same with the Deadpool. 1 in 50 on a $10 book. Yeah, everybody's going to be ordering a lot of those.
Yeah, I felt the same way about that book until they got to the garden. Yeah, stuff. It's just like enough. Just let it go because we know you're just doing it because of the movies and stuff.
Yeah, that's like Guardians team up right now. Why? What's the purpose of this book? And especially seeing the next issue is the all animal Guardians team up book.
The all animal Guardians. Yeah. So what? Cosmo and Rocket and who else?
It was on the cover. I don't remember, but I just remember looking at it and just rolling my eyes, going, ugh.
But like you said, it felt like Howard to me, and it was funny. I laughed out loud some of the lines with it looked like somebody stole your stale bread. I laughed out loud at that. That was funny, and the training montage and everything.
Yeah, no, there I enjoyed some fun it. Stuff but in it. Yeah, Ninjak number one. I liked lost a little bit during it. Not quite sure who was good guy, who was a bad guy. I kind of really liked that female character, and really didn't want her to be the bad guy. She was kind of neat.
Well, they set her character up a little bit in the, not this most recent Unity issue that came out last week, but the one before that where it was all focused on Ninjak. So that kind of set her up as being, you know, a bad guy. But it was, I mean, this book ended in an interesting way where he didn't actually, like, take her in. He just deposited her somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what they're playing her up to be moving forward.
But she was very interesting. And then I got very confused where they pulled up the list and it was Ninja A, Ninja B. I'm like, is it literally Ninja K or is it Ninja?
And that's, I've heard people joke and say and call him Ninja K.
Okay.
And then when I saw that, I kind of just like laughed all up because I wasn't expecting to see this whole list of operatives.
And like he even went, there's a Ninja A and he's like, there Ninja was.
Yeah. But it's so, good. I thought it was
I thought it was good too.
Setup. It did a good job to play him off as being that kind of like mix of Bruce Wayne and James Bond. Yeah. It was a good start for the series, I think.
Yeah. Southern Cross was a new one from Becky Cloonan from Image.
That was interesting.
It was interesting. I had one problem with it, but let me... The basic idea is the Southern Cross is this...
freighter.
Freighter going from like Earth or some space station to this...
Titan moon, I think.
Yeah, where something's going on, and this person's, I forget, loved one, I don't remember.
Her sister.
Sister had died, and she's going to investigate and see what happened. Now, I don't know if anybody read Roche Limit, but it's basically that same kind of thing. A family member shows up on a space station trying to figure out what happened to their loved one. So, it just, in that way, it felt a little repetitive. As I was reading, I'm like, okay, I've just done this, and not that long ago, because I noticed... The Roche Limit trade is coming out next week, so we're only, six or seven issues into that book. So that just seemed a little bit odd in that they felt a little bit similar, at least same basic plot. Spider-Gwen 2.
Read that.
What do you think? I wasn't blown away. It was...
No, it wasn't as good as the first issue. I mean, the first issue I thought did a great job of, like, setting up the character and playing up all these... characters we know in different, roles here. I mean, you got that a little bit with Matt Murdock.
Is she in her own universe?
Yes.
Okay. Right, but reading that got me a little bit concerned because they were certainly playing up, oh, here's this world's Punisher. Inversion. Is this world's... Oh, okay. But knowing Secret Wars is coming, yeah, how does this make sense? Because clearly this can't exist post-Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You know, if this universe can't exist, if there's only one, because it's not
these two that
right that are pizzaing. So,
I know some people had problems with the whole spider pig.
I couldn't tell if it was an illusion or not the whole time.
Yeah, hallucination.
It was. Yeah, okay, it was a hallucination. Okay, that's what I thought.
I didn't mind it. Like, I thought it was humorous or something. Yeah. Like, especially when he's eating the hot dog and she's talking about cannibalism.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, it wasn't bad. It just, it wasn't as good as the first one. I
mean, yeah, and then at the end she, well, yeah. No,
it was the middle of the road issue. It was fine.
Yeah. Star Wars 3. Adam, what do you think about Star Wars 3?
He loved it.
He's playing Boggle or something.
Checking something.
A few too many for me, and a couple more movie references that just really pull me out every time they make them. Yeah.
That's no moon.
Well, I don't know if they made that one, but she's like, she was talking to Luke at the end. I still don't know how he got into the Millennium Falcon at the end.
Yeah, I don't know
that. That one didn't make sense. I didn't think he was on there, and then all of a sudden he was. And Leia's trying to pump him up, going, "You remember the Death Star, the Battle of Yavin?" You know, it's like, okay, yeah, we know,
because that's we know what happened. We saw the movies too.
Yeah, and it keeps doing that, Princess, and pulling me out. And it's, you can't tell me this is written for people who might not be familiar with the movie. Yeah. No, it's not.
I didn't read this issue, but in any of the movies, was she that like cheerleader?
No,
type? Not that I remember.
She was more forceful of what she was doing.
So
like,
she was trying to get him out of a funk because he felt, I don't even remember why he felt bad.
He was mad because he didn't
take out.
I don't know. He did what needed to be done.
He couldn't get to the Tosche station to pick up power converters.
Maybe he just lost the
whole he's still mad.
Yeah,
that's what he's mad about. That would have been perfect the way they were writing the book. They would have been like, "Yeah, he was trying to pick up power converters.
Power converters still just sitting there."
I had an issue, and I'm not even sure about like yet if it happened or not. But Overseer Agadine is his name. Are you reading Darth Vader or Star Wars?
No, I'm reading Darth Vader.
Babagadoosh.
Agadine was supposedly, in Darth Vader 1, he's laying on a bed being tortured. One of those little vertical things where they...
We think it's a little probe.
Thing at an angle.
Yeah.
Okay. In this book, he says something to the fact that he's like, "Oh, if I don't do this, Darth Vader's going to have my head." And then the next panel, it looks like his head's cut off.
He just said he's going to have my.
And then you see his hat fly off, and a wing just cut right through him. But doesn't show any blood, doesn't show his head attached to the hat. I'm going to take it he's dead. They left it open to say that. I mean, the whole joke of where it was saying he's going to have my head. Hat cut off, I guess.
You know,
he's got my hat, and then it fell off.
Star Wars was inconsistent about that anyway, because
he was decapitated.
In A New Hope, when Ben Kenobi slashes the guy's arm off, there is clearly blood all over. And in any other time a limb got cut off, it was bloodless.
Bloodless. They figured
which it should have been.
On.
It should have been cauterized.
Yeah, because it's cauterized. But yeah, no, it really looks like he's been killed. I mean, just how they even drew it, they were trying to hide the fact that there was no, because you didn't see a head, so that the angle that the body was laying, and it wasn't facing front, so you didn't see his face. You saw his back, but there was no head there, but there's a hat, like, flying off. So the whole joke laying into it and everything tied in that he was decapitated. So I don't know if we're going to come back to that in this book, that he was killed, or they're going to just keep it that he wasn't, because in Darth Vader 1, he was alive, so... I don't know.
There's a couple little things for me, like the Han and Leia are in this AT-AT that's going towards this thing, and there's all these stormtroopers and stuff shooting at it, and Luke comes flying up from behind them in a speeder, but is dodging all these laser blasts when it's like a wall of them. It was just a little, I'm like, really? I didn't see that happening. But yeah, it was a little weird where at the end, he takes out the base, there's this big explosion, and then the Millennium Falcon miraculously, after needing half a day to be, or a day and a half to be repaired, miraculously flies out of this thing, and there didn't seem to be any time for Luke to actually get on the ship. It was just a little
It also seems
disjointed.
Like somebody doesn't understand basic military concepts. They can't fight protracted battles. The one time they do, they get beat. The rebels, they hit, they run. That's what they should be doing. Watch the news, see what's going on in the Middle East. That's what you should be having the rebels do, because that's what works when you're fighting large-scale armies. I should write this.
I think we may just endorse terrorism.
Yeah, I think
no,
that's
right. Not, no, that's what not Pat what said, I said. Yes.
Now, would the Joker be a good terrorist?
Offensive.
Sorry. Okay, next.
Adam, which one, the terrorist or the Joker?
What does Cameron Stewart say?
Offensive.
Okay.
I don't want to fight it. I just want to say offensive.
There you go. Surface number one. It's new Alice Cott one. Totally can't even describe it. It's Morrison-y. It's
is that a
future?
It's a word.
Weird.
Morrison created.
Not necessarily like post. Not post-apocalypse or anything, but just set in the future and these kids. And it was interesting, but it was out there. It was pretty bizarre. New Image one.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I want to read the next one. It was just really. It was one of those I read, and when it was done, I'm like, I have no idea what that was even about. That was really bizarre. Not in a bad way, just in a different way. Thor 6, I read this morning. That was good. It's kind of back on track after the last issue was a little bit of a. It was different art, which definitely affects it. This book really needs Russell Dauterman to stay on it, because he definitely draws her of a certain look and a certain style.
You mean stay on it until it gets canceled?
Right.
Do we know who Thor is yet?
We will find out, if not in the next issue, the one after, because it was in the whatever's in the current previews has her taking off her thing.
We will
and it
find
says,
out
yeah.
before it cancels.
We will find out before issue 23, like with Red Hulk.
And then the Thor cops.
But in this one, Thor's trying to figure out who she is still. He's asking Heimdall, and Heimdall basically said, eh. But you do get to see, he visits Jane Foster, who's up in Asgard, because she's in bad shape with breast cancer. And he does cross her off the list as someone who it couldn't be. You find out a little more about the Minotaur guy. I forget his name, the Roxxon guy. He's making a deal with Malekith, and she shows up. And then at the very end, the Destroyer shows up, which is kind of foreshadowed last issue. There was an interesting confrontation between Freya and Odin about his obsession and letting him use Bor, the Midgard serpent, to do the work.
I thought Bor was his father.
No, I think it's his brother or something. Or I don't know, whoever the guy's name is. But it was the guy who was the big bad in Fear Itself. With the big handlebar mustache.
Okay.
I thought he said Bor. I could be wrong. But, so she at least confronted him on that, saying, you know, you're not in charge of all this. You think you are, but you're not. So, that was good. And Thor ends up back on the moon, trying to figure out what's going on. And trying to figure out, and even, I was happy that he at least did what I did. He's like, okay, well, it had to be someone who could get to the moon unaided. Even though on that part of the moon, there is oxygen due to the Watcher. But still, they had to be able to get there. So.
But what about Adelan? That was up there for forever.
Yeah. So, but it still, it couldn't just be a random person from Earth magically got up onto the moon.
What
so.
If it's one of the Inhumans?
But now it's kind of, it's leaning towards, I think, one of the, a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. I don't remember her name. But he confronts Coulson, who looks
Fitz?
Exactly like Coulson from the show. No.
Eric Simmons?
No, none of those. So.
Sky.
No, because she's Quake.
She's both.
It's May.
Yeah. Because he even mentioned that the hair color could change. She wouldn't have to be blonde necessarily and stuff. So we'll find out soon. Walking Dead 138.
Yeah, I read that.
Find out a little bit more about the group of bad guys, or not bad guys, just zombie people.
The Whisperers.
Whisperers. And, Carl is in love because Carl got
Carl
it on.
Because of course Carl's going to fall in love
yeah.
with the nut.
So that's okay. When Carl decided at the very end, I'm going to give away the ending, but at the end, Carl decides
it always happens.
To follow them. She goes back to her people. They swap prisoners, kind of.
Yeah.
And Carl decides he wants to follow them.
How many
and,
times
and
has
leave
Carl
the
run
whole
away?
Time.
And how
you know,
often
and at the end, I was kind of like, go ahead, Carl. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck, Carl.
It's where's Carl?
Yeah. Carl is
well,
he's
in this
the
case,
house.
Like in the last, in that all out war, he goes to the survivor, the saviors. And he runs away to them. How'd that work for him?
Well, he didn't run away. He got captured.
No, he went jumped on their vehicle with them and went with them.
That's right, yeah, because he tried to kill Negan.
And then he
and
tried
then
to
got,
kill him
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's right. Gregory is probably the worst killer ever.
They need to throw him out. Like, I don't understand. You're on your own. Just go live on the outside
world. Yeah, and that's really... That's probably the ultimate punishment. Banishment.
We're going to move you in with Negan here. Why don't you guys share a cage?
Yeah, have fun. You can have fun.
And then the last thing I have, and this is from a couple... This is actually from before I went to Portland, but 8, number 1. Number 2 came out today.
That was good.
And I really wanted to give it a shot, and I just hadn't had a chance to read it, so I took it home and I read it. And that was very interesting. Yeah. I guess kind of time travel-y. We're doing getting a lot of time travel books.
Yeah. I like how the pages and panels are like washed in a different color depending on like when it's happening.
Yeah, and little things like they showed the picture and it was a picture of, you know, remember this face, and the guy's wearing an SS uniform. So that made me go, what the heck?
Yeah.
But no, I thought that was very good. Number 2 came out today, so I'm definitely interested in reading that. But Needle One by Rafael Albuquerque, the art was very, very good.
Nah.
So that's all I read. I think that was a pretty good...
That's a pretty good list, especially for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. So, Pat.
Let's start off with a complicated man that no one understands but his woman.
Dave?
Howard the Duck?
Yeah. Dave? Is it Dave?
Yep.
That is true.
Who's the cat all right, that Dave, won't go pop out when these things are all about?
What am I up to this month?
This month, you're trying to find Marisol, who is...
Why?
Well, because
what did Dave explain?
That's true.
Pat explained.
That's true.
Pat explained Dave, my life.
What did you do?
Pat does it better.
I don't explain my own antics.
Pat explains Dave's life better.
It's not.
It sounds more exciting when Pat says.
Pat is the herald of Dave.
He's the herald of Dave.
Do I get my own surfboard?
Harold. H-A-R-O-L-D. So yeah, we're gonna call you Harold from now.
Okay. Gentleman doesn't gloat.
You like a skateboard?
Gentleman doesn't gloat.
An old skateboard.
Oh, okay.
I have a feeling Shaft would have somebody. He'd have.
He'd have a Harold.
His story and not him. He'd be like, he doesn't have time for that.
Yeah.
Wait.
So.
Adam, shut your mouth.
But he's talking about Shaft.
Dig it. Dave can dig it. Yeah. Dave, that was your turn. You were gonna be like, I can dig
it.
I can dig it.
So, so Dave goes off to find Marisol. And he runs into Bama Brooks, who was the boxer in the first issue that let him go, you know, he was supposed to kill him but didn't. And they decide basically to work together to figure this whole mess out. Shaft does, in fact, find Marisol. And you know, it's... You kind of catch them monologuing, and, you know, one of the things he says, you know, they're all trying to find out where does she hide, when the right question is where would she feel safe, and that's where she'll be. So it you know, it shows that he's a complicated man.
No one understands.
So it's I've really enjoyed this book. It had the I forget the name of the character, but his middle name is something every other thing he says.
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He returned in this issue. So that I you know, it's been a good book. I don't know. Green Lantern Corps.
I remember that.
It's good.
Where did
I thought it was all right?
I thought it was okay. I didn't necessarily like the way it ended, though. But
no,
some of the art I think was a little off.
I mean, I guess I thought it was okay because the previous two issues I thought were great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't feel like this wrapped up that arc in a very satisfying way.
Yeah,
it was a little quick. Like it did it like this kind arc, of abruptly. It seemed like it was going to be such a big.
This arc could have been like a 5 issue.
Yeah,
arc,
it was rushed. Yeah. It was rushed into, or you know, tried. It was condensed into a 3 issue mm-hmm. deal. The problem I had was, you know, he had the Violet Ring, and it almost seemed, you know, he can control what costume he has, or I guess, you know, which ring is actually in control. You know, Kyle didn't even do that. You know, mm-hmm. When he was training and everything else, he stayed a Green Lantern. He happened to wield different rings.
Yeah.
I think it's this time that those rings didn't choose them. They just put them on to use. You remember that during the Green Lantern War? War of the Green Lanterns, they actually mm-hmm. tried to wear other rings, and I don't think it's because they chose them. But in this case, that ring chose him. So he's been chose by two rings.
Yeah.
The green and the violet. I mean, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that's
exactly
what I'm saying. I mean, that's
kind of the
really
only way
well
I can
explained.
Yeah, it's not explained, but that's the only difference I can see in that, because none of the other rings have chose him. Like, I assume that Kyle can still become a Green Lantern. He just doesn't, because he has no reason to. Because
well, yeah, I mean,
he's
wearing the White Lantern getup, but it's essentially his Green Lantern costume.
He can, well, and he can use any
color
any
in the spectrum.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
the 2 points on this that I didn't realize that the bomb was fueled by emotion.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit different. And then when he said, you know, possibly a positive emotion can deactivate it or at least harm it, he specifically mentions hope. So I was hoping St. Walker would have showed up, and he didn't. I was a little disappointed by that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing, so Green Lantern ended 2 weeks ago. Core ended this week. And we really haven't gotten any clue as to how they all end up in another dimension. So, you know, because Core isn't coming back. It's, you know, the Lost Lanterns or what's the name of that, Colin?
Green Lantern Army.
The Lost Army. Yeah, so, I mean, I would think that this would have been the book that would have done that. Like, the bomb would have went off and put them somewhere, you know, just to set it up.
I mean, I think it's left kind of up in the air, but at the same time, it's not like all of them were there by the bomb.
No.
And in Lost Army, all of them go, except for Hal Jordan.
Yeah, there was
including
what?
Including Simon Baz, apparently.
See, that doesn't make sense.
In Lost Army, the interview I read with Colin Bunn says the only Lantern, actual, like, Lantern, because Power Ring doesn't count, that's left in our universe is Hal Jordan.
Well, I'm wondering what's going to happen then next week in Red Lanterns. Because Guy, right now, still has the Red Ring. Does he go back to being a Green Lantern, or does he just stay a Red?
Maybe he just stays a Red.
Although I know eventually he becomes a based on Future's End, he becomes a Blue.
Sooner or later, Atrocitus?
Yeah.
He's going to take that back over again.
Well, I think Dexstar just needs to be in charge.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
It only makes sense.
Well,
he just hang out and lay on a couch.
In the Future's End issue, though, they got rid of all of the...
Yeah, he had all the rings. Oh, the chainmail armor that they were wearing made out of the Red Rings was really cool.
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
That wasn't Bleeze. That was the other one. The English guy.
Like red hair.
Yeah, kind of looks like Firestorm, but not... The Red Lantern version of Firestorm.
Poor man's Firestorm.
Yeah. Future's End.
I read that.
It was good. It just tied things together, though. It didn't really. The only thing that it showed us is it's an introduction, I guess, to the next part, which is Brother Eye seems to have taken
he's
over.
He's sentient now.
He's starting to take people over.
The biggest problem with these current
issues... I don't understand how, exactly.
...of Future's End...
Well, did you also notice how they all look like they were S.H.I.E.L.D. agents?
Yeah.
I thought that was a little weird.
I mean, it's just, these issues have just been setting up what everyone has suspected is going to happen anyways. Like, there's not really any surprises.
Yeah.
The only surprise was that, you know, Brother Eye was able to quickly, like, turn all these people to mechanical zombies.
I just don't get...
Oh, yeah.
I don't get when. I don't get why...
And how?
I don't know how what Brainiac had to do with anything. I don't think we need to know how.
We know where.
We know where it was in New York.
That's true.
But I don't...
Well, we know who.
I don't get, the reasoning behind all of this and why it started right now. Actually, it didn't start right now. It started on the island. But then, he gets back from the island...
Which is why Dude Man went down his bunker...
Well, and it has something to do with the telephone that Lois Lane had.
Yeah.
But then did that ever even happen?
Well, yeah, that didn't make sense because you thought that the telephone was going to be, unless that was just a red herring, which it may have just been, we thought the telephone was going to lead to him escaping the island.
Yeah.
But really, it had nothing to do with that. It was just them saying, invade Brainiac, save us.
That's
now
pretty well
the dog's off the leash.
But I don't know.
Frank died, though. And that was, that, you know, the first issue, he wasn't dead. He was converted. So they've at least changed that much about the future. Unless Brother Eye can bring him back and, you know, then, you know, while not a zombie, he is Frankenstein. It wouldn't be the first time he was dead.
But that was a good, like, section of the book, though.
Yeah. No, and that was, you know, an Amethyst going off. She's going to reclaim her kingdom.
I mean, the past few issues have been enjoyable. It's just, there's nothing really, no surprises, I don't think.
It's almost like they got to stretch things out just so it ends when they want it to. Because they could have wrapped this up.
What number are these in that?
This one, Batman Eternal ends at 52. I think this one ends at 48.
Okay.
Or 40, so getting, yeah.
48, yeah.
Almost there.
So they all have to end at the end of the month, right?
Next week's the penultimate issue.
Oh, yes.
So, if this was Game of Thrones, everything bad would happen next week. And how do you continue from there? Okay, that's all I got. No, no, I'm sorry, I got Deadpool. Which, the penultimate issue of Deadpool.
That's the third time I've heard this word today. You hardly ever
see keeps using penultimate. It.
Yeah.
Use the first.
Some of us are edumacated.
Once you used it, it's been a tidal wave.
Yeah.
They use that on Enid Cornu's website all the time. They even say anti-penultimate. That's the third before the second before
that's
the last.
Going too far.
I was I was unaware of that.
Yes.
I learn a new thing every
day. See what you learned.
From Dave.
Shaft. So, this is just wrapping up the storyline with him and Waziristan fighting Roxxon. But
sounds like gibberish.
It absolutely does.
Roxxon!
Rocks off.
Roxxon?
Hey, no. Family show.
Yeah.
It's a family show.
That's offensive, Pat.
Yeah. Yeah, we should probably rate this on, like,
at least.
Booyah.
Yeah. Booyah? Yeah. Okay, Cyborg. So, it's wrapping up that. He helps free a bunch of captives that Roxxon's getting ready to execute by chewing off his own arm. Yeah. Basic Deadpool stuff, because he can just tape it back on.
I can do that.
Yeah. And then and he rescues Pastepot Pete, who is captured by Roxxon. And then he tells Pete, you can claim credit for this, that you saved the day and saved all these people. And then he jumps out. He's at some temple because they apparently found these... they're like crystal sarcophagus things that his wife is the queen of the vampires, and that's where he found her, was in one of these crystal I guess since there's more, they'd be sarcophagi. So he calls her and says, hey, I need you here. I found these, and then she's going to come. So that sets up whatever's going to happen in the $10 issue here. I hope it's like at least a double size issue.
Yeah, it should be.
Okay. So that's it.
Chef?
Ant-Man number 3.
You gotta do it in a more Shaft-like voice.
You were wanting him to. You thought he was going to.
Ant-Man number 3.
You dig?
Where we find our hero, Scott Lang, in Miami. And he's just set up his new...
he transitioned out of it. That was pretty smooth. It was pretty smooth. It was
set
pretty
up
good.
His new...
We don't expect
personal
something that
security
smooth than a shaft.
Does he have the bear?
Yeah, so He's setting up the security system, and his first client is a paperclip warehouse. So he's setting up the system there with his army of ants and Grizzly. And he's Grizzly's in his grizzly bear outfit. It's just totally ridiculous. totally ridiculous. It made me laugh. And then he has a fight with the Taskmaster. And you find out that that was just a distraction because another villain is after...
Paperclips?
Is after... No, not that good. But after Ant-Man's daughter at school. And who... I forget the name of the villain, but it was... It looks like the... who's the Marvel version of Deadshot?
Colin.
No.
Colin?
Marvel version of Deadshot?
Marvel. The Marvel version of Deadshot. Isn't there, like... He has, like, a... He's purple costume and...
Paladin?
Over his eye. I don't think it's Paladin.
Okay.
Wait, are you talking about,
I think he was in that... I think
Colin
he was in that...
Farrell's character?
No, 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 I don't think it was a Bullseye. Yeah. No, it wasn't Bullseye.
I can't think of who you're talking about.
I'm gonna have to get
the I don't know how I missed the book,
he looks
either.
Kinda like him.
I'll get the book after I'm done.
Yeah.
So you could work that out.
What book is it?
Ant-Man.
I'll grab it.
So it's been funny. It was funny because they were referencing Taskmaster was making fun of Ant-Man because Ant-Man said, "You're my arch villain," and he's like, "You gotta be crazy, you know, to think that you have an arch villain."
Right.
And he was referencing some old run-ins with the Taskmaster, and which was cool because I remember I have the old Avengers issue, Hawkeye and Ant-Man versus Taskmaster. It had one of the coolest covers ever with Ant-Man on the front of Hawkeye's arrow as he's pulling it back. So Josh is getting the cover, and that was... Thank you, Josh.
I have no idea.
Who that is?
No, I have no idea who that guy is. If he's been in something for a long time.
Okay.
Your stump, Colin?
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Somehow I forgot this, so I gotta get this out too.
They don't say his name in anything?
No, I don't think so.
Plenty proves that why Dave's talking to him.
I will.
Okay, well, I feel a little bit better than everybody knows. That is, but it's a funny book. It's good, and it's okay. Next one is Fantastic Four. Josh isn't here, but it's the penultimate issue of Fantastic Four.
You missed penultimate, Josh.
I'll say it again when he comes back. But so they're fighting all the monsters from Franklin's dreamscape, and they get Sleepwalker. Sleepwalker leads a team of Sue, Franklin, Namor, and Jim Hammond.
I thought Namor was dead.
He's alive in here.
Continuity really doesn't matter in these books at all, does it?
Not really.
What is your man, Manza?
This is number 3.
Well, he died 8 months in the future or whatever.
Right, but that we've caught up to that now. So
they go into Franklin's dreamscape to figure out what's going on and what's causing this incursion, and this something has infected Franklin's dreamscape. And so Ben, Thing, and the Avengers are fighting the monsters in Manhattan, and at the end you find out that the cause of all this craziness in the dreamscape is Psycho Man.
That guy.
Way to pull out the classic villains for the end of the
so,
run.
Yeah, it's had a lot of classic stuff in it. It's been a good run by James Robinson and Leonard Kirk. But only one more issue left.
Okay, yep. Forever.
Forever.
Is that going to be a $10 book?
No, I don't think so.
How does a Deadpool get a $10 book and a Fantastic Four? Okay. I don't understand this world we live in.
And the last one...
Pawn in Game of Thrones.
Wait till Josh comes back.
Come on.
Josh, I just talked about the penultimate issue of Fantastic Four.
The penultimate issue?
Just wanted to let you know that.
Another one.
We have a lot of those when I go through the the invoice.
And the last one, I don't think I ever talked about this book before, but it's Sheltered.
Okay.
From Image.
I read like the first two of that, and it wasn't bad. It's coming to an end, isn't it?
Last week's issue was the last issue.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
There's only 15 issues, and there's pretty much a beginning, middle, and end to this story of the kids. It's a story of this group of survivalists, and they set up this. And they have a camp called Safe Haven because they think this volcano is going to explode, and it's going to be the apocalypse. So in the first issue, Lucas, who's this kid, this teen kid, charismatic leader, he gets all the kids to murder all the parents.
It's so
in
bad.
This camp.
So bad. And it was.
And through the course of the series, you know, some of the kids have doubts about Lucas's leadership. There's some delivery guys who have to make a delivery to Safe Haven, and trouble starts there. And finally, you know, law enforcement, the government finds out about what happened there. And they go to the camp to try to put a stop to this. And it was good, you know, very gritty, very dark, you know, as true to life as it can be, I think. But you know, it's a good story for you know, only going to be three trades. I think the next trade's coming out next month. And it has the last, I don't want to say it's a twist ending, but the last panel of the book, you look at it and you go, you just nod your head and say, yep, of course, you knew that that's what was going on. But I recommend that. It's a pretty cool book.
Cool.
And that's it, everything else we talked about.
So what do I have left here?
I don't know. You and Adam.
Well, Unity from last week. So the past two issues of Unity have been focusing on individual members of the team. So two issues ago it was Ninjak, and then this past issue it was the Eternal Warrior. So you're seeing, like, they had this huge battle, and you don't see what the battle was, but you just see that they're all pretty beaten up after it. So this is, I guess, you know, each issue has been how they're recovering from it. So Ninjak's worked because it was a setup for the new Ninjak book, but the Eternal Warrior one, it was good, but it's kind of showing us stuff we've already seen because we already have had an origin for him. He already had his own book. He just had a miniseries not too long ago. But this particular issue, it bounced back and forth between him back in ancient Japan and helping out these rebels and meeting this woman who you could tell he kind of falls for, and she trains him because he points out how he is a master of, you know, at least 500 different fighting styles, and then, you know, is well versed on over 1,000 more. So she's training him, and it's flashing to, you know, current Japan where he's going through just like normal everyday things, but you see how he has these different safe houses and all this stuff he's accumulated over the years. And he goes to, you know, visit his house, like, kind of in, you know, more of a country setting. And he finally does this on an annual basis. And as it's flashing back and forth between the two, you start to see the connection where he's going to visit the family of this woman who he knew from, you know, centuries before. But it was good. Like I said, it wasn't anything new for the character, but it was still just a good story to show, you know, give sort of more of an impact of how long he's really been around. I think the next one is focusing on Livewire, which is another one of the core members of the Unity team.
So I don't read any Valiant stuff, never have, but it sounds like time travel plays a huge role in their universe.
Well, it's not time travel. He's just been around for thousands of years. His brother Ivar, who's in Time Walker now.
Yeah, and that's why.
And that one's doing time travel, yeah. But and also Armstrong from Archer Armstrong. Those three brothers are immortals, essentially.
Okay.
Based on, you know, something that happened in, you know, the first issue of Archer Armstrong, but there hasn't been a whole lot of like people actually traveling through time, except for Ivar Time Walker, and
it's
now
just
they all have lasted that
long. Valiant's done a good job of doing is having different books that take place in different points in this in the time period or their timeline. So like Rye is taking place in 4000 AD, but it's the same universe as everything else. And Eternal Warrior, or whatever, he had his own book. The second arc took place in 4000 AD. So,
and because these guys are immortals, they can show up in all the different timelines.
But they've done a good job of making sure it all works and connects together, and it feels like the same universe.
Okay.
So, but I think that's the only one that I want to mention we didn't already talk about. So.
Adam.
Batman Eternal.
Don't know what you're talking about.
It's a book. It's been coming out for, about all year?
51 issues?
And somebody who runs a comic book store should know about it.
The issue today...
If they're a good store about it.
Not familiar.
The issue today kind of surprised me.
I haven't read that. Can't do that. That's illegal. That's offensive.
I just said it surprised me. That's all I said.
He's shocked. He's still surprised.
What'd the Joker do?
All sorts of offensive stuff.
Joker stuff.
What, you can't... Mr. J. That's his name now. We have to live with it. Sounds happier, not as offensive. Anyways.
Or Puddin', as Josh would call him.
Puddin'.
Josh would call him Puddin'. It was a good issue. Not really a lot happened in it either. A lot of tie-together, like, things. See it's coming to an end, like, I guess. It didn't really totally show that it was coming to an end. None of these books have really showed an end.
I like Julia Pennyworth in that issue.
Yeah.
She's been a pretty...
She had a good idea. Throughout in this issue, or in the previous issue, Hush and the guy in the shadows takes over the Batcave and the computers, and basically was using Batman's toys again to cause havoc to the city. In this case, he's aiming the Batboat at some sort of other type of boat. I don't know what it had. If it
like
was
a tanker
cargo
or something,
boat or some sort of tanker. And she has to basically stop it. Well, being that she escaped, she has to go into. Has to find another computer. Another Bat computer. It has nothing to do with Bruce's Bat computer. So she goes to Red Robin's like crazy supercomputer that looks has like a light beam or something. It's crazy. They've showed it before, and I'm just like, this seems way too advanced.
What does he call his like
the nest?
Robin's nest.
Robin's
like
nest.
Magnum PI.
Yeah.
That's what it was. That's what.
Yeah.
It was,
it's like,
I never really. It never clicked.
But
into
Red
right
Robin,
now.
Tim Drake does not have the stash.
Higgins. He doesn't have Higgins.
He might have a Higgins.
Alfred's like Higgins.
Yeah, that's true.
One day he'll have it, Alfred.
How would Julia have passwords and access?
Somehow she got in. It looked like she got it through the roof access or
something.
No,
but to the computer itself. You would think he'd have, you know, password protected.
Unless it wasn't that good.
Well, it's linked to Bruce's.
But she didn't know that.
No, because if it was linked, then Hush would have...
He did.
But he would have known about it, though.
Hush is not smart.
But he did. He did figure it out.
He figured it out, but if he would have known about it ahead of time,
but Hush
he would have prevented
that. He would have, okay.
He's not
but
that smart, though.
She didn't know that Batman. The whole thing, back to where that was, though. Yeah, there was a failsafe, basically, in his computer that I'm sure Red Robin had no idea it was there, but Bruce was in his computer. So he was able to get into it eventually. And then basically the issue ends with
Alfred being a badass. And
yeah, he goes. Yeah. He's able to get out with the distraction. He uses some sort of key code and goes after him. And then it ends, though, with the carrier, the jet that Batman steals. And he's just aiming it at Bane, and Bane's just like, this has to be him, you know, because he's just...
Was last issue... Did he steal the jet in last issue?
Yeah.
Was that where
he
left
the
IOU?
The previous issue, I think, with the IOU. I think.
It was a previous issue.
Yeah.
I love the IOU.
He finally shows up, and he's aiming it right at Bane's vehicle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then that's the end of that issue. But it was good. Like, it had a lot more to it, I think, than Future's End had, where nothing feels like it's ending. Nothing. You don't see an end coming. But...
you see a resolution coming, but not an end.
Yeah, so...
But Endgame makes it look like it does end.
Well, and even Justice League. that clearly takes place after the events of...
We know it's going to end, yeah, because of that, yeah. But, no, it's a...
It's been good.
I'm really going to miss this. Mm-hmm. Whatever they do next, first of all, they have to have Well, like he's been saying, though, they need a weekly book. Like
I need a weekly book.
It doesn't hurt. I mean, I like it. If they know what they're doing, if they know what they're doing with the weekly book, that Batman weekly book really
does good. If they have a story to tell that deserves it. Otherwise, you get like Wolverines.
Exactly. So
but even like, you know, it was the first 15 issues of Future's End before we really said, okay, it's found its legs.
And,
it's
found, yeah. But let's be honest, though, Future's End, looking at it now at the end, did not need a 48 issue.
No, it had a lot of drag to it.
Like that it went on. Should not have been a weekly.
That could have been a 20 issue.
Well, even Batman Eternal, like, really, you could have cut that whole part out with the nanites, and it wouldn't have made any difference.
You could have cut, like, small arcs out of it.
Could have gone out too.
But for the most part, though,
the only thing about the nanites story helped develop the character of Bluebird. If you didn't have that, Bluebird wouldn't have had really any purpose to get into her suit.
And even looking back at it, like, I don't think I would have cut out the nanites, but I think I would have tied them into the rest of the events a little bit better.
Yeah, it kind of came in.
It didn't feel like that shouldn't have been there. It just felt like it was kind of forgotten about.
It kind of took over for a little while, disappeared for a long time, and it came at the end of the story, and everybody was just like, oh, yeah, the nanites. Yeah.
Unless it was there just to develop her.
To develop that character. Which it could have been. That could have been all it was. But,
Future's End, I mean, it's had its highs, but it did not need to be nearly as long as it.
Yeah. It's been. World's End? Did you talk about that?
No, I didn't read it yet.
Well, I won't.
I know what happens in the end.
Okay,
so
you
stuff
have an
happens.
Idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
The world ends.
Basically,
kind of giving away the title
basically, of the book. Apocalypse has fully encapsulated Earth, and there's people on the outside of it that are Mr. Terrific. Terry Saloon was the name we were trying to remember last week, by the way. Which his superhero name was something nine or something. I don't remember now.
709?
Yeah. 789.
789?
Yeah. It's not, whatever it is, it's at the beginning of Earth 1. Who else is on that? Mr. Terrific and Fury are on the outside of the ship, in the ship. But outside of Earth, and it's basically has a shell around it. Basically, this issue was more about Green Lantern. He absorbed tried to create another shell around, an inner shell around, using the Avatar energy, and it fails. Like, he does it, but it just can't withstand the power of Apocalypse. And, With the final bit of energy that he has, that all the avatars give him, he basically blasts a hole through Apocalypse, the shell, for sunlight to get in. And that way now Power Girl and Val Zod now can absorb sunlight. So that gives them a little bit of a fighting chance. Now that they get... Otherwise, they were getting weaker, and they weren't going to be able to stand up against what was happening. So I guess this book as well will be ending pretty soon, too.
They're all
ending at the same time.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, this one, I guess, shows, like we were talking about, with an end in near, this probably has somewhat of an end in near. I can see that, because it's finally getting to the point... You feel like they're going to win. I don't know if Earth's going to win, but you feel like something's going to happen. But I don't know how this is going to translate, how this is going to connect the Future's End. I don't know if, I mean, we have the ship that we saw, but, like, they need more, according to what they were saying in this issue as well. They need, they need to get 2 million people off of it, but the ship can only hold, like, 10,000 people. So, and if you remember in Future's End and that story where they were bringing people through, bringing people to the new Earth, they had more ships. They didn't just have the one.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them, they had the Sacrifice, I remember, for some reason. I forget why.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see how this connects, and they all have to connect, I guess, to the events of that, because even if they change any time, anything to happen, the future shouldn't matter if they fix it.
Right.
The past should be the exact same thing. True. So I don't know how this is all going
to
connect.
Heroes have to get out of the candy shell Earth because they showed up in Future's End.
That's a good name.
It's the M&M Earth.
The candy shell Earth.
M&M Earth.
I see it. You remember those little, in the gum machines, they used to give like a puzzle ball?
Yeah.
It was like these little like eight, they look like eights or something, and you had to put them all together. That's what the thing looks like. And it just seals around the Earth like that. It's different. It's kind of like Galactus is more like Apocalypse now, you know. Very different way, because I don't remember Apocalypse doing that.
No.
I remember them just living on it. I don't remember it being almost like a vessel that they fly around and destroy, you
know. It's Unicron.
They have to eat Earth's... Yeah, it's Unicron. That's what it is. So, we can't talk about Transformers. Colin will get mad at us.
Why
don't
they
get mad? I just don't know.
Be like, cartoons!
Why do they try to escape to a different dimension instead of just going to a different planet?
When I was a kid, there was only Steamboat Willie.
Why do I bother?
I don't know. I really don't know.
That's your question.
Try to be a nice guy, give you a place to hang out.
But those were the books I read, Colin.
Okay. Do you go home and vent to Sandy?
No. She doesn't care.
If he did, she'd just be like...
Shush.
She'd be like, you open a comic book store.
You're living the dream.
What did you think was going to
happen? You invited these type of people?
These are your people.
These are my idiots, yes.
But we're your idiots.
And then he starts talking about comics. He's like, you're talking about the same thing. This is why you don't like these people.
Go watch Steamboat Willie.
Yeah, go watch your favorite cartoons. He hates us.
I do, right now.
He's playing backgammon and watching hockey.
Listen, just when you're talking about books, I was about to quit and the other guy quit.
What's your girl's name?
Katie. Adele. Oh.
Not you. When she came in,
Adele.
She was like, what do you play? And he's like, backgammon. And he's like, how do you play? And I was like, no, you don't want to play backgammon.
It's only for grown-ups. It's complicated.
Grown-ups.
Okay, so on to, this is actually good that I'll be getting out of here. I have to let Nana go, which I haven't had to do in a long time. I know I have to let her go home.
You're firing Nana.
This is one of those weeks when I'm really...
Time's over, Nana.
That's it, Nana.
It's one of those weeks where I'm really happy I don't have to write the board. This is a huge, it's like the end of the quarter and like everything in the world is coming out.
See,
normally it's four pages.
The
normally the invoice is four pages. Next week it's eight, just to give you an idea how much stuff's coming out. So we have, I just like the name of this, I don't know what it's about, but it's The Age of Selfishness Hardcover. I just thought that was an interesting title.
You always pick books like randomly that you're just
It just kind of caught me.
Sounds funny. And then it's a book about like Hitler and why you shouldn't really be like into Hitler.
I'm just going by the title.
Closes his eyes and goes...
What, when I order stuff?
It's dark.
Or when I highlight? No, I just, that name caught my eye. We got Aquaman wrapping up that storyline.
Maelstrom.
Autumn Lands, Tooth and Claw number 5. You guys have been liking that. I finally got 3 and 4 back in, so now I got a chance to read it. Batman and Robin, final issue. Not Pentultimate, Ultimate. Batman Eternal, Pentultimate issue. We have
There's a T there in the middle.
Pentultimate?
I think it's Penultimate.
Oh,
Penultimate. Sorry.
Penultimate is the ultimate.
Jiggy Jar Jar here?
Penultimate. It's the Pentultimate. We have the best title of the week, the Big Hard Sex Criminals hardcover. We have Big Thunder Mountain Railroad number 1. That's a Disney book. No idea.
Sounds like it.
Black Hood number 2. I think Dave enjoyed Black Hood number 1.
Yeah, I did. Okay,
great. Curb Stomp number 2. I've heard good things about Curb Stomp number 1. Dave number 2. So you're going to have to get that.
Oh, no.
Darth Vader number 3. But I have been severely allocated on this one. So just a warning, I might not have enough.
There's a pill for that.
Okay. We have Earth 2, World's End.
Penultimate.
Thank you.
That's a podcast?
No.
I don't know what these fingers mean.
I know what that one means.
Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Vortex crossover.
Black Vortex.
Hit 1957, number 1. Invincible, number 118. The only reason I'm pouring this one up, it's a quarter issue, and it's designed to get you to jump on the series. So, jump on for a quarter.
So we're going to throw all your books on the floor and jump on?
No.
Yeah.
No.
This time we can't.
Gem and the Holograms, number 1, Adam. I know you've been looking forward to that one.
I know that.
With the hologram cover, the fancy cover.
Oh, yeah.
Justice League Dark, final issue.
Truly outrageous.
Legendary Star-Lord, number 10, is also a Black Vortex tie-in.
More impressed that
previous guy.
The book that I am most looking mm-hmm. forward to it's next like week, lot, above any other, Multiversity Ultra Comics.
Oh, man.
When does that come out on, in trade?
After all the issues
Six
come
months
out?
From now, probably.
He just
oh,
he
so
just
it's
shut
not
you
well,
down.
No, so it's not like multiple trade. It's all going to be one trade.
Look at he's like, he's like, I said issues. Something good.
New 52, Future's End,
penultimate.
Thank you. New Avengers 32. Time runs out. That's getting near
the
end.
Who the hell knows?
Pastaways number one, a really good one from Matt Kent. Previews. Red Lanterns final issue. Suiciders number two. I really like number
I did too, yeah.
So I'm looking forward
so
to that one.
Many books.
The Valiant final issue.
Nice.
And see, I did get the one in 20.
Right.
Just
You're
for
the
you.
Best.
Just for
You're
you.
You're the best.
Look how much I had to spend to get you that one issue. That's how much I had to spend. Just to make you happy. So that's what I'm going to charge you. Walking Dead 139.
What are you saying right now?
Huh?
You lost your mind.
I have lost my mind. We Can Never Go Home, number one. They sent me a preview copy of this really neat book from Black Mass Comics.
That's pretty good.
Kind of loser guy is like throwing rocks in a junkyard. Comes across this pickup truck where a guy's making out with his girlfriend and kind of trying to have her way with him, and she's not hearing any of it, having
hey,
any of it.
Get your damn hands off her.
Yeah, well, he kind of looks in the window and he's like, whoa.
And he saw it was the Joker and Barbara
yeah.
Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, she turns out that, like, she then offensive. Throws the guy, the boyfriend, and clearly she has superpowers. And he's like, whoa. And she's like, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. And all of a sudden they become, like, best friends. In school, like
because he feels he
it's
has
it's
to.
A girl. Well, no, it's a girl that he shouldn't have anything to do with. Like she's the head cheerleader, and he's just the nebbish. But suddenly they're like friends, and everybody's like, "What's going on there?" Well, it turns out he also has a superpower, but it's when he wants someone to die, they do. And how does he know? Well, because he got mad at his mom. Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a tragic thing. And then
that's a good superpower to have, though. Really,
yeah.
When you think about it.
So, but it was very interesting. And then something happens at the end of the issue, and basically. They can't go home again. So they have to leave and head out, and that's where it ended. But it was really, really good. And as you can tell, I doubled my order after I read it. So
The Walking Dead?
I really liked it. Yeah, The Walking Dead's next week.
Why are we getting this one so early?
I don't know, because they are. Wicked and Divine number 9, great book. And Witches number 5. So
that's been a while.
It has. It seems like it has.
But Outcast took a while, too.
Yeah.
It took a while for Outcast came out.
So... That's next week, but yeah, it's going to be huge. I'm going to be interested when I do the thingy, the
huge.
Board tomorrow,
yeah,
how many extra pages I have to add, because it seems like a whole lot. So, I need to go home and let Nana go home. Not let her go.
Fire Nana.
We're not firing
Nana.
No.
Time runs out.
And hopefully we'll get Cameron Stewart calling into the
awful.
Podcast next week. And Adam?
That's a podcast.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Of the streets demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I
rock. They're in the system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. The mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah. Cause you ain't seen it quite like this. Because that's how we do it in the 616. Drop the beat out. I'm gonna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will babble these limited children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know I'm still in the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody'll save your kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest, making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the